Welcome to session 125 of the Bible in a Year commentary. If you started this series on the 1st of January, then today should be the 5th of May. Today we'll be looking at Isaiah 61 to 64 and Psalm 120. But so far in Isaiah, we've read through the first half of Isaiah, focused on the judgment and future hope of Jerusalem and the nations, and then the judgment on Israel's leaders for where they put their trust. Through these different preachers and visions, we've gathered a series of images. God was about to pour judgment on the Israelites for their wickedness and corruption. This punishment was described like God laying an axe to a tree and just a stump remaining. Out of the remnant of his people, this tree stump, God would raise up a branch from the line of David, who would be king who reigned over the earth and brought peace. Focusing on the foreign nations, we got a mention of a day of the Lord. On this day, God will bring judgment, waging war on evil and wickedness. He will destroy powers that set themselves up against him, whether they be human kings or spiritual beings. The foreign nations are judged for their pride, oppression, and wickedness. Focusing on Israel's leaders, Isaiah points out that the judicial leaders, the priests, and even some of those who claimed to be prophets were proud drunkards who put their trust in their own power and authority rather than in God. But through these preachers, Isaiah highlights some key ideas. The Israelites are not to turn to these foreign nations for support and protection. God is in control, and we use all of this for his purposes. Eventually, even those foreign nations will be brought into God's future kingdom. In that time, all people will celebrate feasts and worship God, led by a king who will bring peace and flourishing. Then we started the second half of Isaiah, written to the people after the exile, giving them a new hope. It was God that led the other nations to do what they did, not those nations' own strength or their own gods. God was always in control and will lead his people to flourish again. As God leads these foreign nations against each other, ultimately he will still see all nations brought under his authority, worshipping him. We got the introduction of someone God calls my servant, saying, I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. As Isaiah 42, verse 1. This servant will be despised by Israel and suffer to the point of death. But this servant is to be a covenant to God's people, an offering for their sin to bring them into salvation. This servant is contrasted with Israel, who is described as a blind servant because they continue to reject God. We got imagery of God divorcing Israel, but will one day restore them to himself. God will send one ahead of him to his people, declaring good news of their salvation. In return, they expected to keep justice, do righteousness, keep the Sabbath holy, and keep away from doing evil. Those that hold to these will receive salvation, and those that don't, won't. But let's jump in with today's reading, Isaiah 61 to 64. We now open on the pinnacle of this section of the book, Isaiah 61. In this chapter, we have an unknown speaker who has been anointed by God. His task is to proclaim good news, and with that, he is to offer healing, freedom, and comfort to all in need. He will replace mourning for gladness, and all of God's people will be like sturdy oaks of righteousness. They will be strong and well watered. They will be a nation of priests, leading others into relationship with God, and their shame will be replaced with honour. God will make an everlasting covenant with his people. In this, we get the writer drawing on the idea from Genesis 12, that God promised Abraham that through his descendants all people will be blessed. And then in Exodus 19, where God called the Israelites to be a nation of priests, God is still holding on to his commitments to his people. They will be blessed. The natural response to this is rejoicing and praise. Again, we get a vision of God's holy city, Zion. God will transform the city so much it will need this new name. With this new name comes a new identity. No longer will they be known as forsaken, but as my delight is in her and married, as Isaiah 62 verse 4. God will no longer abandon them, but will be as faithful and committed to them as any husband. God will put watchmen on the walls of his city, who will watch out to make sure God is doing what he said he would. And God swears by his own right hand that this will surely happen. God will also prepare the streets and the gates of the city to let the foreign nations in, for this will be a city where all nations can come and find a home and receive salvation from God. Next is a section on God's wrath, with God staining his clothes with the blood of his enemies as he pours out vengeance on them. But unlike before, where the wrath came because of a lack of repentance, here God's wrath leads to repentance. We get another psalm of repentance. Here the psalmist recognises the goodness of God, who made a commitment to his people to care and protect them. But they rebelled against him, even though he was the one who rescued them and cared for them when he brought them out of Egypt. So the psalmist once more cries out to God to have mercy on his people, reminding God that he is a father to his people. He invites God to once more come down and be with his people. The writer recognises their own feelings and the failings of the people. They've all sinned and become unclean. They've polluted their clothing and the land around them. And no one calls on God anymore. And so turning back to God, he asks God to let that no longer be the case, to come back despite their sin, to be their father again, to remember not their iniquity and to restore the city of Jerusalem. That's Isaiah 61 to 64. Now let's look at Psalm 120. This psalm isn't attributed to anyone in particular, but is named as a psalm of ascent. These psalms were sung by worshippers as they ascended to Jerusalem for the three pilgrimage festivals, Passover, Festival of Weeks, and the Festival of Tabernacles, or possibly by the Levites as they ascended the steps of the temple. Psalm 120 all the way through to Psalm 134 are all psalms of ascent. Interestingly, this first psalm of ascent is a lament psalm. Here is a summary of the structure, but would recommend checking out the written version of this commentary in the description to see the structure properly for yourself. We have verses 1 to 2, I cry to the Lord in distress. Verses 3 to 4, what do the deceitful deserve? And verses 5 to 7, I am far from God and seek his peace. The psalmist opens with a cry to the Lord. They ask the Lord to deliver them because they are surrounded by deceitful people. The psalmist then thinks upon those who are deceitful and what they deserve. They deserve to feel the sharp end of an arrow or the hot end of some burning coals. Meanwhile, the psalmist is far away from Israel. They are living in Meshech. This is Asia Minor in modern day Turkey. It's unlikely that they are actually living in Meshech. As the first of the ascent psalms, the speaker starts off figuratively far away from Jerusalem and progressively gets closer. They are far away from God's presence and slowly draw near. As someone who is far away from God, they are not experiencing peace, but conflict. This psalm sets the scene for the journey that the people will go on in their pilgrimage. They start far away, but with their eyes set on God, who is the source of their salvation and peace.